How do you feel knowing Gus, Jude and Wendell are about to go live with another cracking show? I feel like a Dewey's or two. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, welcome to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. It is Feel Good Fridays. It's How Do You Feel Fridays, thanks to Tui's. If we ask you how do you feel when you call us on the show, tell us you feel like a Tui's or two, and guess what? You get a case of Tui's.
How good
is that, boys?
Love
so let's
it.
Fire up. Jude Bolton, how you going?
Mate, going really well. Pumped for tonight, actually. Got to go to the SCG for Sydney versus Carlton, so should be good on the boundary there. It's a bit cold here in Sydney, but as we know. But looking forward to that. And there's a really special presentation. I'll tell you about that shortly.
Yeah, and there's a big game of football for the Swannies. They need to win it, and so do Carlton. How you going, Del? How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good, mate. It's Friday, mate. You know what I'm like? I just look like a joy weekend off, you know, when you've been grinding 5 days a week, putting in overtime. You know, you just need a bit of a break, mate.
Wow. What about a bit of an update on when the fire happened yesterday, Jude? Congratulations, big fella. Let's have a listen to what happened yesterday afternoon. Breaking news. We have a building on fire in the city. Parts of the top of the building are starting to fall away in Roundell Street between Elizabeth and Chalmers Streets. Police are on their way. Too early to tell if anyone has been injured. We're going to get Jude, get you to jump out of the studio and get down. Jude Bolton's out of the studio. He's down in Sydney. Tell us what you see, brother.
Just walking through Central Station now. It's just crazy. Like, there's police and fire and rescue vans everywhere. You can smell the smoke in the air. I can see the flames over the top of the building. So the fireys are doing an incredible job to get this under control, but a lot of chaos out in the streets at the moment.
I've actually got Michelle Slater with me. Michelle, what did you see?
I saw all this smoke billowing up into the air and there were flames licking out the window. And it was like, oh my God, what's going on? All of a sudden the flames got bigger and bigger and bigger and it just went whoosh. There were people in the apartment block next door and they didn't know what was going on. They were kind of poking their heads out of their balconies and there were smattering of us on the ground and we're yelling at them, get out, get out.
Let's just say Michelle was a bit of a firecracker, but she was outstanding. It was
Michelle.
Intense, though, like crazy sort of scenes around there. Unbelievable.
She was a cracker, no doubt about that. We've got a bit of an update. Two 13-year-old boys have come forward after a fire that gutted two abandoned heritage-listed buildings in Sydney. They reckon there's another six kids as well, so they will be chasing them over the weekend. But two 13-year-old boys have come into the police to say that they were a part of that particular fire. You imagine it was an accident. Time now for this. Yeah, there's so much sport to talk about around the game of football. And, of course, Ange, our big manager, won it for Celtic. He might be going to Spurs, Jude.
Yeah, this is massive, Gussie. I mean, we know that there's a vacant head coaching spot at Tottenham Hotspurs. And their leading candidate, Arne Slot, who's at Feyenoord at the moment, confirmed he wants to stay there. So it really effectively puts the Hotspurs, Tottenham Hotspurs, back into going, looking at their other options, which is Xavi Alonso. He's at Bayern Leverkusen. And then Spain coach Luis Enrique. And then also Ange Postecoglou, who's been on fire at Celtic, last two premierships there, or titles there. So what would be amazing. That would be an incredible one. And they've got the North London derby against Arsenal and the like. So it would be a terrific job for him to take.
I tell you, it's a tough job to take on, though. Those Spurs managers, they don't hang around very often, Del. It might be a tough one for him to take on straight away back into the Premier League.
Yeah, well, good luck to him because, mate, you know, you got to aspire to go to the Premier League and obviously coach in that. So well done to him anyway. He's in the mix.
What about the Roosters, mate? They've re-signed JWH and Tupu for one-year extensions. What do you reckon? Is that a good move by the Chookies?
Oh, it's good business sense. I think, you know, JWH has earned that right to go another year, you know. Mate, their winning percentage is obviously high when he's playing. And Daniel Tupu, he's a very good player, you know, very underrated winger, I reckon. He's world-class, and they just need a little bit of experience at the moment because they've got a lot of these young players coming through, and they need to get there, I suppose, get back to where they were as in the way of their culture.
Yeah, absolutely right. The NBA, Celtics still alive. Miami 3-2 up.
This
they won
huge.
Today 110-97. Game 6 is on Sunday, our time at 10:30 in the morning. We thought this was going to be a couple of 4-0 series, Jude, but the Celtics, Boston, they're up and about.
They've come from the clouds, to be honest. They could take it to 7 games, so it could be amazing.
Fantastic, mate. What about you? You spent lunchtime today with a very dear friend and a very, very special presentation. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get invited along with a few of the past players and a few other people to go to the unveiling of an Adam Good statue. So it's been unveiled at Swans HQ, which is right next to, Fox Studios there, where they've set up their new facility. And it's an incredible photo depicting him in that war cry or war dance pose, which he actually did in Sir Doug Nicholls' round, Indigenous round in 2015 against Carlton. They played tonight, the Swans and the Blues. But it was good to see Mickey O'Loughlin, Basil Sellers unveil that statue and then Goodsy speak there. So it was good to see some of the past players. But he's forever etched there, and people get a chance to go on and they can just have a photo in front of them.
That's fantastic, mate. Where's the Jude Bolton statue?
Oh,
that's
please.
What we're asking on this show.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, coming up next, 133353. Want to get you involved. Those lies your parents told you as a kid. You know, like, you know, if you eat carrots, you can see in the dark, all that type of stuff. Now, let's open up the phone lines on 133353. Now, the lies, basically, that our parents tell us when we are youngsters. And we all do it because we're all parents now, so we can't say that it's just our parents. But things like, and this actually happened to me, guys, and I was sad about it too. When I got home and I was looking for Paddington, our dog, and Mum said, oh, look, we just didn't have enough room. Like, he's not a city dog. He's not a suburban dog. So he's gone to a farm in Dural. And back in the day, this was sort of late 70s, Dural was country, but I just couldn't believe it. And I just thought, well, that's a bit sad, but I suppose Mum's selling it pretty well. There's more open spaces for him to run and so forth. But now I know that I have no idea where that dog went. And shame on you, Mum. I know you're listening. I'll give you an uppercut next time I see you.
Oh, no, about, no, no, he won't.
What about you boys?
Yeah, look, I think for me, you know when you're a kid, you like love having your lollies and stuff. But also, remember when Hubba Bubba was big? So I used to love the Hubba Bubba and all that sort of stuff. And then anyway, Mum would go, and then I'd swallow it. Mum goes, you can't swallow it because what will happen is it'll clog you up and then you'll have to get operated on. I said, what? And so have you guess what I started doing? I kept swallowing the chewing gum. So, but yeah, she lied to me. How dare you lie to me, Mum?
My mum, Rosalie, I remember her. She'd always say, if you sit too close to the TV, you're going to go blind. Absolutely. Yeah, every time. You're like,
yeah, I was told about something else that if I kept doing it, I'd go blind as well.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. Yeah.
One of my mates, he had young kids, and when they went on holidays, he didn't want them going in the hotel pool. You know, he was just like all the time. So he'd get up for breakfast and just want that slow start to the day when he's on holidays. So he said to his kids, oh, they haven't cleaned out the sharks out of the hotel pool yet. Like, they just wait till they clear the sharks. And so the kids would just sit there frozen going, we're not asking Dad about going for a swim.
What?
And then sort of, have they cleaned the sharks out of the pool? Yeah, they're ready to go. Let's go. And he's got the shorts on. He's ready to go down and lay by the pool to watch them. He's good. And you go,
the power that we have over young kids in particular is incredible. Give us a call on 133353. The lies that your parents told you when you were young. The lies, the dirty lies that our parents told us when we were little. We've got a full board of calls to go, Jude. Who we got, brother?
There, let's bring Sarah. How are you, Sarah?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Tell us those lies that your parents told you as a kid.
So when I was about 5 or 6, my dad came home and he had free tickets to the local lion park. So my brother and I went off and we had these really cool tickets where we could go in the cage to hand out the lion's food to them. And it wasn't until I was about 16 or 17 that I discovered that my dad's Lion Park tickets were not free. He'd actually got them by donating my very first pet horse that had died to the Lion Park. And I realised that I had actually fed the lions my pet horse.
Your
horse. Oh, no. Oh. No.
When does he fess up to that, Sarah?
He never fessed up to it. I actually overheard him telling a story to one of his friends when I was a teenager and realised. And now he admits to it. But, yeah, it was horrifying.
Oh, that is terrific.
How do you recover from that?
That's so good.
Incredible.
Okay, oh my goodness. Let's go to Stuart there. Stuart, what about the lies that your parents told you as a kid?
How do you feel?
Hey, Stuart.
I feel like a Tui's boy.
Oh, yes. Well done, Stuie.
Case of Tui's coming your way, brother.
Mate, what are those lies your parents told you, mate?
Mate, the old boy, when we used to go into the city, he used to tell me and my brother that when you push the little button, the little red man went down the pole across the road and to the other side to turn him green.
That's actually pretty cute.
It's incredible that you learn. You just get away with this sort of stuff.
Now that little man doesn't do that.
Apparently not. It's a great. It's a great one though. What an imagination and really nice little memory.
Right. Hey, let's go to Anthony. How are you, Anthony? How do you feel, mate?
How do you feel?
Like a Tui's or two boys?
Yes. Get amongst it. There's your case, mate. What's the lie your parents told you as a kid?
I was a bit of a cheeky bugger when I was a kid. So, I used to pull the odd face, poke the tongue out and stuff like that. And I was always told when the wind comes up, you got your tongue poking out like that. If it changes, it'll stay that way for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I heard so that good. As well. That is awesome, brother.
Yeah, so let's go to Ben there. Ben, what are the lies told you, your parents told you as a kid?
How do you feel, mate?
I feel like a Tui's or two.
Yeah!
Give him a case. We've got plenty.
It's a Friday.
You're beauty.
Beauty!
What's that lie, mate?
Like you, Gussie, I was told if I played with it too much, I'd go blind. And now I'm 48 years old and my eyesight's as good as ever.
Oh. Well, mate, I also was told that if you play with it too much, it'll drop off, and I think mine might have. Let's talk some AFL. Let's talk to this man.
Our next guest is a premiership-winning Swanee with over 250 games under his belt.
Is that the grand final? Sydney
Premiers. He made his debut in 2011 where he established himself as an integral... Hey, just say really important part of the team. He made his debut in 2011, where he quickly rose to prominence, eventually becoming one of the youngest players ever to enter the leadership team at just 22. Please welcome Swans co-captain, Luke Parker.
Yeah, and of course, the Swannies up against Carlton tonight. You can listen to them on Listener from 7:45. Luke, how are you, mate?
Hello, boys. I'm good. How are you?
Mate, fantastic. How are the boys feeling? A huge game for you.
Yeah, it is. No, we're really excited for tonight's game. It's a big game, I think, for both sides. We've kind of been a bit up and down in the season. But, we're really confident in how the boys are prepared and looking to hopefully go into the bye one better.
Still some key injuries that have hit the club, Luke, particularly in defence. How will you curtail both Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay?
Yeah, I think that's what we've been dealing with most of the year is we've had some key players out in defence, and we've got Lewis Malakin who's come in, which is really exciting for him. I think it's his first game of the year, but we know how kind of dirty he is down back there and how confident he is. And we've got Aaron France as well, who's also been playing some decent football. So I don't think it's left up to those two. I think it's more of a system-based approach to stop those two big towers because they're pretty big boys, so we can't just rely on those two guys to get it done.
Hey, look, we saw Buddy Franklin in the paper yesterday with the Swans Indigenous jersey on. Must make you proud to see the way that not just Buddy carries himself, but your Indigenous players and just the way they express themselves, the men and the women. It's a wonderful-looking jersey.
Yeah, it's an incredible jersey. It's an incredible round to be a part of, and I've been lucky enough to play alongside some of the most incredible Indigenous athletes and footballers, and to see what they, I guess, bring to the game and the excitement that they bring to the game, and they're normally the reason that there's bums on seats. So it's such a great round to be a part of, to celebrate what they've brought to the game.
Hey, look, I was telling Judah over the years, when I started the Broncos in 1993, there was a guy there called Wayne Kerr who played, but then my favourite AFL player of all time is Andrew McLeod. And then Drew told me the story that he's had a bit to do with Charlie Cameron over the years. How good?
Yeah, it's incredible. I think I grew up watching Andrew McLeod, and he was a pretty special handy player himself. And now you see what Charlie Cameron's doing up in Brisbane, and he's one of the most exciting, explosive players you see out there. So, as I said, it's such an incredible week to be able to celebrate those kind of players.
Just watching the Blokes go around last week against North Melbourne, Luke, it just felt like, you know, the confidence has taken a hit for some of the players. How much of it tonight is just being able to play on instinct and get back into real form?
Yeah, I think that's the key for us is for most of the season, we've been putting together some really good quarters and you almost get that feeling of what our best football is, and then we just have been letting ourselves down just with a little bit of scrappiness and finishing here and there. And yeah, for tonight's game, I think it's basically throw caution into the wind, and you just got to go for it in these big games and back your system and back what you've done for years. And we've got full confidence in the boys that we've got out there.
Hey, Luke, our man, Errol, he's been one of the best, mate. He's been in terrific form. You've got to back him up, champ.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. He's a little bloke that I absolutely love playing with. He lives around the corner from me, which is great. He loves his football, loves to get better, and probably one of the most obsessed players with just getting better.
Thanks a lot, Luke. Good luck tonight, big fella, and you can listen to all the match there with the Swannies up against Carlton on the Listener app here on Triple M. Let's see who I'm up against. Let's go to the hostess with the mostest, Mr. Jude Bolton.
Yeah, it's a big rush hour. Welcome to Steve in West Pennant Hills. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good legends, and can I say I feel like a
two-ease
or two?
Ah, beautiful, fantastic.
He wants the case of beers as well.
Fantastic. Mate, here we go. You've got your phone a friend in Wendell Jermaine Saylor next to me, so you can use him once through the opening rounds. You ready to roll, Steve?
Yeah, why not? Let's go.
Let's go, mate. So, Gussie,
yeah,
it's origin time and we're 5 days out from the opener. What year did the last clean sweep occur?
Oh, come on. Oh, it was a while ago.
Have a crack.
2014.
No. 2010, the Maroons, 3-0.
Yeah, boy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's go to Steve. In AFL news, which three-time premiership-winning head coach this week stepped down from his role? If you want to use Dell, he's got the answers.
We'll have to go to Dell.
Help him out.
I got you, my man. Damien Hardwick. That's an easy one.
1-0. All right, here we go, Gussie. The NBA finals are just 1 week away from getting finishing up. So what is this question?
Oh, there we go.
That is incorrect. Hang on. Who defeated...
Just give me the point.
Who defeated the LA Lakers 4-0 to advance?
Nuggets.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, baby.
That was incorrect, whole question. So
that's terrible.
1-1. All right. Apologies for that, Steve. I'll read the question. All right. In EPL news, the top four is official following this morning's results. Man City, Arsenal and Man United round out the top three at the moment. Which team is currently fourth?
Oh,
my young bloke's going to kill me for this one.
I know this. I love the Knights too.
Dell's giving it.
Stop it.
Dell's giving
it.
Tips.
Come on.
Newcastle.
Oh,
he's
got it.
There it is.
All right,
that's
Gussie.
That's BS. Gussie. Ale took too long and you gave it to him.
Hey, it was about to round up. Righto, Gussie.
Come on, Gussie. Come on.
To
You're
Super Rugby.
Dickhead,
to Super Rugby, Gus. Only one Australian team currently sits in the top four with two rounds to go
Brumbies.
Until final. What's that?
Brumbies.
Yeah. Brumbies.
Well done,
he's on
ACT
all.
Brumbies, baby.
All right.
Come on.
Steve, you need this for the
Don't
win.
Don't give him the answer.
In boxing news, Aussie Nikita Zhu, the brother of Tim Zhu, continued his unbeaten rise up the ranks this week with a TKO victory over Benjamin Bomber. How many professional wins does Nikita now have to his name? Have a crack. Unbeaten.
I'll go with 12.
Ooh, it's 6-0. Let's go to the tiebreaker. Your name is your buzzer. All right. Who was the last New South Wales player to win the Wally Lewis Medal for Player of the Series?
Oh, come on, mate. You jump in quick.
You don't know anyway, Gus.
Wouldn't that be
Oh, yeah?
Are you, Gussie, do you want to jump in?
Yeah.
Well, Tedesco?
No,
mate.
Bump bow.
Tommy Turbo.
Give him the $200 anyway.
Give him the $200
for
Steve
Rooster.
Absolutely.
Give it to him.
We are. Hey, Steve, enjoy it, mate. All thanks to our friends at Red Rooster.
Steve, you, mate. Have a good weekend, mate.
He didn't deserve that, Steve.
Oh, we dragged him
out of
line.
You didn't deserve it anyway, mate.
Up yours, Dell. Let's go to this bit of news, guys. I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
A Sydney man accused of catching and cooking an ibis has been freed on bail under strict conditions. A magistrate telling the Vietnamese national the ibis, often called a bin chicken, is protected and not for eating.
Where others see an ugly menace, Tom Quash saw a tasty meal.
How many bin chickens did you kill?
One.
Only one?
Yeah.
Why did you kill it?
Can't eat it.
The 60-year-old was arrested yesterday after officers allegedly found a dead ibis in his Malabar unit. Neighbours raising the alarm after hearing the bin chicken in distress.
Did it taste any good?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
He might not have eaten it.
How are you going to cook it?
I just boil it up with fish sauce, something like that.
Today, Quash was granted bail on the condition he leave ibis and all birds alone.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Quashy baby, you can't kill a bin chicken, big fella. It's just not on, brother. Come on. They're beautiful
animals. Leave our ibises alone.
That's a lie. They are not beautiful animals, mate. They are annoying. They are disgusting.
What do they do to you? What do they do to you? They just bum around a bin. They don't come at you. They don't attack you. They're kind.
They're scabs. And you know what? They get what they deserve.
That is really harsh.
Del's got it on a bit of fish sauce now.
Yeah. In Queensland, it's actually legal to kill bin chickens.
Really?
Is it? Yeah, it is. Yep.
Well, you are a weird bunch. You're a bloody weird bunch, you Queenslanders. I'll give you that. Well, I'm just glad that he got arrested, and I'm glad that I hope he does a bit of community service and gets a big fine as well. I wouldn't be upset if he went to jail for a little while. You just can't touch the big chicken, Kwame.
He's got the rap on the knuckles that he needs, so don't do it again.
Yeah, he's only done it once, he said. I really believe him, too.
That's his Friday night like we have pizza. Yeah. Unbelievable. Time now for this. The Rush Hours. Yeah, and of course, let's go back last night. The Dolphins getting the job done against the Dragons. In the end, very comprehensive, Del.
Yeah, Dolphins too good last night. Dragons scored first, but yeah, the Dolphins, they play well at home. They've got two home grounds and they did the job there at Coast Stadium.
What about tonight? The Eels and the Cowboys. Eels, heavy favourites in this one at Combank Stadium.
Yeah, look, I know why the Eels are favourites because, mate, the Cowboys aren't playing great after their 66-point shellacking last week. But the Eels at home, they've got a pretty good squad still, so I reckon they'll put plenty on them tonight.
What about the Warriors against the Broncos, mate? Obviously a very important match for your son making his NRL debut for the Broncos. Mm. How's he feeling and how are you feeling about this one?
Oh, no, look, I'm happy for him and I'm happy for the other guys who are getting a go. So this is the thing of the Broncos. It's the next man up sort of theory too. So they're playing good. They need a win here, the Broncos, but the Warriors at full strength. It's going to be a tough game and I'm looking forward to it.
Bunnies versus the Raiders at a course stadium, mate. Big clash this one, an important one.
Yeah, look, I think the Bunnies, they got Cook there. Campbell Graham's playing through. He's got over that injury quite quickly. So I think the Bunnies will be way too good tonight.
Pangai Jr., big fella. A lot of people saying he's got to be aggressive, but he can't be over-aggressive. He's sort of a surprise selection in Freddie's squad. How does he get a personal win on Wednesday night so he's in game two and does a good job? How does he sort of tamper everything but still be positive and aggressive?
He's just got to play his controlled aggression. Really good controlled aggression style of football. If he does that, obviously he's got guys like Badiris around him, Joey, and obviously Freddie and these guys. Mate, once Freddie gives him a job, and I think Freddie's smart enough to know now, he's got to a stage now where he's selecting for a reason. Go out and do your assignment. If not, you'll be like Mark Geyer. You won't play many Origins.
And the last game for this round, Del, is the Knights versus Seagulls up at Newcastle and Kalen Ponga at fullback. But also, you just look at the halves, Schuster and Johns versus Gamble and Hastings. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, I think Newcastle can win this on the back of Ponga. Obviously, there's a few missing there from Manly. But, I want Manly to win, but I just think that Newcastle will get the job done. They're only missing Tyson Frizzell, really.
Now, Gussie, I want to know, have you got an inside word on what's going on in Vegas? Who's going to be performing, surely?
Well, what I can tell you guys is that Peter Volandis and myself had a conversation today, and I had a conversation with Jacko last night, and I said to him, mate, the NRL really want you to be the entertainment for this Vegas game. And he goes, well, tell me all about it and give me the rundown. And I got all excited, and I said, mate, this could be a massive boys' trip. The radio show wants to go. Like, I got really excited, and he said to me, mate, here's a number, and he WhatsApped it through of his manager, and he said, get Peter to phone him. So it's now in the hands of his manager. he's not obviously looking for he just wants an opportunity to go and have a fantastic time with the boys is how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, we're certainly a step closer to at least having Jacko as the entertainment for the doubleheader over there in Vegas, which would just be sensational. I think that would lock our show in as well as the Triple M show that goes.
Yeah, Dale thinks he's going to be a backup singer.
Yeah, Peter, don't stuff this up, mate. Me and Jacko are entertainers, brother.
Let's see what Jude is fired up about this week.
In 325 games and two premierships for the Sydney Swans, Jude Bolton learned how to do two things really well. Tackle people and get hit in the head really hard.
It's Bolton again.
Let's do one of those now. This is Jude Tackles.
That's a big tackle.
All right, lads, gather round for a little chat about the absolute absurdity of those so-called neck pillows on airlines. Seriously, who are we kidding here? Are they secretly designed to give us neck cramps instead of comfort? Because that's all they seem good for. First of all, let's address the elephant in the cabin. Airline food. I mean, seriously, have you ever tasted that stuff? It's like they've raided a vending machine from the 1980s and microwaved it to perfection. And don't get me started on the mystery meat they serve as chicken. It's more like the rubbery cousin of tofu, pretending there's something else or not. So there we are, wrestling with our microscopic tray tables, trying to avoid catapulting our meal into the lap of the unfortunate passenger next to us. And when we finally finish our culinary adventure, what do? We decided to take a nap and trust a tiny inflatable contraption to support our necks. Genius stuff. But guess what? That neck pillow is about as useful as sunscreen in a vampire convention. Instead of cradling our weary heads, it decides to transform into a personal neck torture device. No matter how we adjust or inflate it or contort it, we end up with a neck position that belongs in a chiropractor's nightmare. And here's another thing that you know grinds my gears. People at the baggage carousel who stand 10 centimetres away from it somehow trying to summon their luggage faster. I mean, come on. Do they possess some kind of magical powers that compel their bags to appear first? Are they secretly telekinetic and can will their suitcase to pop up like a jack-in-the-box? Newsflash, folks. Standing closer won't make your bag arrive any quicker. So there we have it. A neck pillow that masquerades as a medieval torture device, airline food that's best left untouched, and the baggage carousel dance of frustration. It's a trifecta of first world problems that you know we love here that makes you question the sanity of air travel altogether. But hey, at least we can take solace in the fact that we're all in this together, apart from Gussie in first class getting pampered. Misery loves company, right? So next time you find yourself aboard a flying tin can with a neck pillow that hates you, just remember to laugh, roll your eyes and enjoy the absurdity of it all. After all, what's life without little humour and a sore neck to complain about? Bon voyage, my fellow victims of airline madness. Bolton out.
Yes!
Oh, mate. Dude, that is your best ever, brother.
Yeah, I think so too.
That is your best ever. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. And boys, I want to tell you a story about when I was over in LA last week. I got a chance to go to the Ronald Reagan Library. Now, I knew nothing about this. In fact, I now realise that every single president from Hoover through to, well, it's about to be Obama's opening, has their own library. Did you guys ever realise that?
No.
Happened. It's always in their home state. It's always paid for by their supporters, never paid for by the taxpayer. Jeez. But basically, Ronald Reagan, well, I always loved him. I remember him as an actor watching the old westerns with my mum and dad. He had two terms in 81 to 89. His vice president was Bush Sr., who ended up winning it the year after before he got beaten by your mate Bill Clinton, Del.
Yes.
He was a Hollywood actor. He was a bit of a jokester who used to sort of basically use humour to take the edge off sort of serious messages that he had to do at the time, which was all about the Cold War between America and Russia. Now, all presidents, like I say, have this particular library.
So you're saying Donald Trump will get his library?
That's right. So everything Donald's had in his 4 years has been taken away now and stored in a, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
And all those artifacts will come out. Now, whether or not, if he gets in again next year,
they
might wait for that one to happen. But every single one, Obama's is about to be opened.
Yes.
But everyone else has already had theirs open. Now, when I went to the Reagan one, there was Air Force One. The actual plane is inside the library.
No,
the
stop
actual
it.
Plane, and then you can walk onto it, and you can have a photograph as if you're the president leaving. You know, the the shores to go off on some sort of trip or whatever. There's also the chopper, That's already down there. You can go down and have a photograph with that as well. But what I loved about it, and this is something I never knew, is the Oval Office is iconic, right? Like every presidential American movie has that Oval Office in it. So they've built their own Oval Office, and it has everything that Reagan put into it. So if you're a president, you can decide on what art, on the colour of the carpet, the colour, the desk is the only thing that stays the same. Now, he loved westerns, he loved all that sort of stuff. So all his stuff is sort of rodeo and cattle and cowboys and all that sort of stuff. His carpet is the colour of like a beachy, sandy desert, whereas that was taken up. And when Clinton took over, he had all the stars and stripes, which Trump ended up having as well. So all these really interesting sort of things around the American presence, and they're iconic even to us, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they always talk about America sneezes and we catch a cold, that sort of stuff. But they do that sort of pomp and ceremony really quite well, the states. But I still struggle to think Donald Trump will have his own library. They'll be just finger painting in there, surely, won't they, or not?
It was all the stuff. It's like his suit, like with Reagan, he was had the attempt of assassination. So they've actually got the suit that was cut off him in the hospital up there all that sort of stuff around it. It's really quite fascinating. JFK's got the largest one. That goes for 13 acres. Well, Clinton has the biggest one in terms of how many actual pieces they have there.
Yes, but
I don't think they have the dress there.
Monica.
Monica's dress there. But anyway, it was really, really exciting, and it's nice to see it. And I suppose it just sort of brings a bit of pomp and ceremony. As you say, they do that stuff really well. Now, boys, we've got a very special guest. His name is Barry Maguire. He's the scoreboard attendant at Leichhardt Oval and has been there for the last 23 years. The scoreboard is not electronic, as we know. So the recent win by the West Tigers, nearly getting 66 points over the Cowboys, would have had him working double time. So we thought we'd get him on the line. Barry, welcome to the show. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, boys. How are you?
Mate, well. You recovered yet, mate? That was a hell of a workout.
That's all right. It's just good to put them on our side of the fence instead of the other bloody side.
Hey, Barry, I was going to ask you, mate. It's always a great ground to play at, but, like, you know, the Tigers obviously have been very lean couple of years, and, mate, how are the fans that go against you? Are they into you? Are they into the team? Or what happens? Because it was a great win on the weekend.
No. Because below where I am at the scoreboard, it's normally they're all wearing the old Balmain Tigers. There's normally Balmain Tigers, even though it's West Tigers, they're all Balmain Tigers jerseys. So they're always there. But that was the first time ever, 23 years, that crowd was absolutely unbelievable. Wow. Every time I put a score up, they're just cheering and waiting until the score came up. And then they kept on chanting, like when it got to nearly 40, then we won 50, then 60. So then I started playing a bit, and so I put the scores up slower and slower. But they kept on cheering until I put the final score up. It was unbelievable.
Barry, you've seen some unbelievable games in your time. What are some of the special moments?
Too many, man. I used to follow around like the reserve grade because I was used to be the timekeeper for all the Tigers games as well. Man. And my mate was the coach of the reserve grade, Paul Fletcher. So to see him get his first team to get in the grand final, I think 2009 or something like that, That was a special game, that one.
Mate, what are you thinking, Barry? Do you think I see that the West Tigers are talking about going back to the little grounds, or I suppose suburban grounds, rather than the big stadiums? You like that idea?
Oh yeah, mate. You will always get, because it's always the only people that complain is the people who don't live in the area. Because everyone that lives in the area walks to the ground, and you stop at four or five pubs on the way, and then you stop at four or five pubs on the way back. So, no, if there was more games at Leichhardt, it would be unbelievable, mate.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Good on you, mate. Well, you're an absolute tragic, and glad you had such a good day on Sunday, and thanks for spending a little bit of time with us on the Rush Hour, the Savo.
No worries. If you're ever there, the ground, come up, mate, and you'll feel the atmosphere yourself. It's unbelievable.
Will do, mate.
Wonderful, Barry.
Good on you. Thanks, Bazza.
Like a tiger.
What about next week? On Monday, we've got another $200 to give away, all thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. Obviously, the Origin Countdown Wednesday being there in Adelaide. Sammy Thyday is going to join us still. And Phil Jamison from Grinspoon is going to give us the latest on what he's going to be doing with the band. So it should be a cracking show. Have a great weekend, Del. Enjoy your son making his debut for the Broncos. And I'll see you Monday, brother.
Thank you, mate. Much love.
No worries. Much love to everyone. Get home nice and safe. Have a great weekend. Jude's at the Swannies. Have a listen to him on the Listener app. He's on his way to the SCG right now. Have a great weekend, everyone. Paddy.
do you feel knocking off after a big show? I feel like a twoies or two. The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.